Hi, Daniel.
Hello?
Hi,
Yes,
Daniel. We're good to
I'm
go.
here. Amazing.
All right. So let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
I graduated 2015 from BOCO, Boston Conservatory. My major was musical theater, and graduated spring of 2015.
All right. Awesome. Musical theater, the triple major, right?
Triple major, there you go.
Okay. Very cool. We will get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
I work for a PR and communications agency called We Communications,
So is
and I
that
work
we
in
like
the
W-E?
WE. And I work in human resources under in compensation, kind of a blend between compensation, HR, and finance.
Okay. So, first quick question with your company, about how big are they?
We are a global company, global, I would say around 1,500 employees, North America around 500.
Gotcha. And sorry, where's your office?
New York City, right off of in Park and 34th.
Cool. And about how many people are in that office or affiliated with that office, as it were?
I would say around 50. The company has a primary location of Seattle.
Understood. And is your office all like administrative support people, or is there a mix of lots of different, like, are there PR people in the New York office as well?
Yes, there are PR people in the New York office. Most of my human resources team is in Seattle. I have a few team members who work with me in New York, but there's a mixture, I would say, of PR representatives and other functions along with my own.
Gotcha. You said it kept these stuff 1,500. How big is the HR team?
HR team is around 15.
Okay. And now, could you talk about compensation? That sounds like I'm thinking, obviously, salary is compensation, but I'm aware that there are other forms of compensation. There's, stock options if those exist. There are, vacation days might fall under that. I'm not sure. Health insurance. So, like, what's your field of responsibility?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is the total rewards function, which is compensation, salary compensation, as you mentioned, benefits, and all items, all aspects that go into somebody's salary, stock options, as you mentioned. Incentives, incentive compensation, bonus structures, and setting their total compensation from an HR perspective.
Right, so you're not the person who negotiates the salary, right? It's more like you make sure all the paperwork is in order, that they actually legally have these stock options or are signed up with this health insurer, or that they're. Okay.
I work with leaders to set the compensation philosophy of the company,
Okay.
and then I look at external data to set compensation structures, and then work with talent teams and other business leaders to hire and bring on employees under the compensation structure that I establish.
Oh, so in other words, when a position's advertised, if it pays, I'm making up this number, 90,000 a year, you're the one who's sort of did the research and all that to say, hey, if we're going to attract good people without lighting extra money on fire, we should set it around 90. Is that?
Exactly, yes.
Got it. Interesting. So, well, yeah, so it's not just don't take. It's not just being, say, an administrative cog where,
Yes,
okay.
exactly.
Wow, that's really cool. So
Thank you.
About how many hours a week do you work?
40, a typical 40-hour week, 9 to 5.
So it's a real 40, not a 40, but surprise, it's 70.
No, it's, I would say it's a real 40.
Gotcha. Awesome. And it sounds like it's an in-person place, or is it remote or hybrid?
I'm under a hybrid structure, so I go in 3 days a week.
Cool. And could you sort of take us through a typical work day, kind of hour by hour, what you're doing?
Yeah, so I would say my function aligns very closely to like a corporate hour-by-hour structure. I have my meetings throughout the day. I spend a lot of time in Excel doing analytical work with external salary data that I have to analyze to create and then and maintain the structures that I build. I spend a lot of time working with cross collaboration with HR business partners, team members in finance, team members in talent acquisition, to make sure all the cogs and all the pieces of compensation are flowing correctly through the different departments. So I would say hour by hour, it's a typical corporate 9 to 5. I have my email, the set time for emails. I have my set time for meetings, to check in person with people. And then I have a significant amount of focus time to ensure that I have enough time to be in the weeds and spreadsheets and all of that.
Gotcha. And so, are you meeting with, let's say, regular employees face to face ever, or are you, I think of in tech, we talk about front end and back end, right? Or
Yes.
front end is like, are you the one talking with people? Oh, we're paying you this, and you sort of, or are you more like stuff get, you say what it should be, and later on you process some paperwork.
I'm usually back end. So because I work in human resources, I'm the back end of human resources. And then the support that's front end is the HR business partners. So I give all the HR business partners all the tools that they need to communicate then to employees.
Got it. Makes sense. And all right, one of the criteria you have to hit to qualify for these interviews is that you enjoy what you do. So what is it about working in HR that you enjoy?
It's very obvious, I do not have a linear background. I didn't go to school for finance, for compensation and human resources. I went for performing. But I've always had a finance analytical brain that I always wanted to stretch at certain times in my life, even when I am performing. At a checkpoint of the pandemic, I really decided to lean into my finance and analytical brain. It's something that gives me a lot of joy. Finance, money management, the idea of helping people understand how they get paid and holding companies accountable for giving people a livable wage was something that really motivated me in entering this work. Yeah, I really enjoy it. It stretches that part of my brain that I typically wasn't able to or not able to when I'm performing.
Gotcha. Very cool. So, speaking of nonlinear paths, so let's take it back now to 2015. Although we could take it back earlier if you feel this story had a logical earlier starting point. But if
Okay.
not, put us in your headspace as things were wrapping up at BoCo, and we'll take it one step at a time from there to where you are now, both in terms of what you were doing for work, but also like where you're at mentally in terms of your career.
Yeah, absolutely. So 2015, graduated from BoCo, degree in musical theater. I got an agent out of Showcase. I moved to New York with the intention of being a full-time performer. And I did that. I moved to New York immediately. I was very adamant about making my schedule revolve around building the routine needed to be a performer full time. And that was, yeah, that included going to 8 to 10 auditions a week, often calls, working with my agents to get appointments and getting in the rooms that I needed to get into, and then having a side job on the side. I had a few various positions that helped me afford my lifestyle in New York.
Gotcha. By the way, can I chime in for just a sec? Like about 30 seconds ago, you got substantially quieter. I don't know if the phone got jostled or something.
Well, there was an ambulance that drove by my window. Potentially, that was
probably
that disrupted
is.
By. Right.
I can still hear you okay, but it was like, oh, if it gets any quieter, this is going to be hard. All right, please
okay,
continue.
Yeah. No, I think that was it. I moved to the city with the intention and moved forward with a full performing based routine and structure in the auditioning world of New York.
All right. Well, you're not still doing that full time. So let's talk about what came next.
Yeah, so I did that for actually a good amount of years, I would say. For a solid 5 years, I consistently booked jobs regionally, and I had a few jobs in New York that were produced by or that came from my auditions in New York City. I was very, very happy with my side hustle. I did finance, and I dabbled in the finance side with a part-time for a premium driving service that drove actors home from shows at the end of on Broadway. So I was able to work at night to support my like daily routine of being in the audition world. And then the pandemic hit.
So can I just rewind it a bit?
Yeah, sure.
I was heard that number of years and I was like, oh yeah, COVID. But I guess my question there is so this job, it was a premium driving service, but you were, again, working on, like, the back end, the finance part.
I started front end. I started as a driver, just as a side hustle, the typical side hustle for an actor. And I, as I mentioned, I've always had a finance brain, finance analytic brain that I really always wanted to explore and have more in my day-to-day life. And I had the opportunity to take on an additional back end responsibility with the company in the finance function.
So were you doing both that and driving, or were you 100% finance at that point?
Yes, I was. I think towards by the end of my time there, which was the starting point of the pandemic, I was full time as the finance representative driving, I would say maybe 10-15% of the time.
Gotcha. Very cool. So, and then COVID.
Yes. And then COVID happened, which, as you know, the entire theater industry basically came to a halt. Mm-hmm. I was really fine with the idea of going back to my traditional, like, routine that I had built up until that point. But as my brain, I realized my brain works, and this was actually kind of went hand in hand and me really leaning into and taking on a finance position at this driving company. I don't do well with not having a steady income, a steady form of knowing when or how I'm going to afford to live my lifestyle and support myself. So as the months of the pandemic continued, I really realized and noticed that my brain was not letting me or not satisfied with the idea of not having that steady source of income and steady source of moving my life forward in some capacity. So I leaned into and I learned, I took a few certificate courses for finance to gain some more perspective and more knowledge. In order to then, I got an entry-level position at a tech company in the finance function as an accounts payable associate was my first title.
Sorry, how did you get this position?
I applied.
Yeah.
I knew one of the recruiters for the company, and they let me know about a position that opened up. And one of the recruiters was actually also an alumni of Boston Conservatory. So I had a connection that was able to get me into the door, and I prepared and I got a certain amount of knowledge to support the idea and to support the ability to give me an entry-level position.
Great. And just a quick question, they do statistics on it. When you say you knew someone there, are you saying like a friend, a family member, someone you'd worked with?
A friend. Yeah, this was a friend that I went to school with. They weren't in my year at BOCO, but they were, we had a genuine friendship in school and outside of school. And they made a similar transition they were looking to do a similar transition as I was.
Gotcha. And so this is like still 2020 when you get this position, is that correct?
That is correct.
Cool. And then I guess my next question for you is, obviously 2020, the theater world's come to a screeching halt, but then at some point it's 2021, 2022, and things are opening back up. What makes you sort of stay on the finance path?
Once theater started opening up, I was very open to and wanted to continue my performing routine and my performing life to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. I really now loved the idea and loved the place that I had reached, where I was a fully remote employee at this company and had the flexibility to go to auditions when I needed to. So I really saw no conflict in pursuing both to a full capacity. Obviously, it was the audition world, even though the theater industry had opened up and started to open up here and there, the audition culture shifted tremendously from in-person auditions to self-tapes. So it was much easier to balance when I got an audition through my agency and when I got callbacks and auditions, that I was able to put together materials that I needed to. This really manifested in, I wasn't as in the weeds in the theater world as much anymore. And I really saw no reason to exit or to try and move away from my finance position, because that provided no obstacle in continuing my theater routine and what I wanted theater to be to me.
Gotcha. So, when did you transition from that one to your current job?
I've had a few different jobs in compensation over the past few years. But at this particular tech company, I was at the company for 2 years, and I worked and I got a few promotions in the finance world. And right before I left that company, I started to make the transition from finance to human resources. So I took on a total rewards function at the end of my time at this tech company. The tech company was called Ribbon. I was a real estate tech startup.
Okay.
I was there for 2 years, and for the last 6 months I was there, I was working in HR and compensation.
Gotcha. Why did you move over? Was it more of an interest, or was it just kind of a promotion?
I felt like I had reached my peak in passion and interest in the finance world, and I was really starting to work closer and closer with my human resources colleagues and the people that I was working with from a cross collaboration mindset in finance, and was developing a passion for seeing how I could use my finance knowledge to have a more people first approach to to finance-related items. So compensation is kind of a bridge between the two, and that was exciting to me to explore.
Got it. So you did that, and then you presumably started applying to positions where that was the full thing, or?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, cool. And here you are.
And here I am.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. And let me preface the next question with there is no right or wrong answer. So
Okay.
these days, and let's define these days as 2024, what, if anything, has been your relationship with music slash dance slash theater?
Yeah. Now it's still, I would say, in a transition. So I still have my agency in New York. I have an audition that's sent to me, maybe once or twice a month, depending on the season. It's a little bit heavier, and not. I have found that I'm able to balance doing those auditions as often as I can for projects that I genuinely do think that I would really love doing. But I'm now not in the phase of my life anymore where I can wake up at 7 a.m. and go to an open call, or wait all day for an audition, in person that I may or may not get into. So I think I'm now exploring the idea of I love theater. It's what I'm trained in. It's what I have had an extreme passion for. But I don't fully align with the lifestyle of just being a performer. In my brain just doesn't allow myself to completely envelop myself into that world any longer. I really love having the steady routine of this job, and I really love the flexibility that that gives me now in my life, in hopes for continuing singing, continuing being a part of the theater world, when something arises or when something is placed in front of me that excites me. So it allows me to stretch my brain and stretch that muscle a bit, just not as often. So I think I'm still in the transition period. I'm not exactly sure what I want theater to be in my life for the long term, but I know it will be in my life to some capacity. It's just kind of this trial and error of seeing what kind of works for me in my in the current place in my life.
I mean, I'll say that of the folks I speak with for these interviews, it's mostly Berkeley people, right, as opposed to BoCo. But, most of them are still doing music on the side. It's just like the side thing as opposed to the main thing.
Yeah,
Obviously,
yeah.
some people is the main thing, and then I'm not talking to them, so.
Yeah, no, it's exactly that. It's the economics of being in the theater world 100%. It really works for some people. I have now learned, I'm now in my early 30s, that it doesn't work for me in that moment. And I will find ways in my life to incorporate it in my life as much as possible. But being in my life full time just doesn't align with where I want my life to develop to in an economic state of mind for my future.
I completely understand, and I'm gonna be just a little bit crass for the next question because it's a little follow-up because I'm trying to figure out which of my predetermined categories to stuff you into. And let's say I have four categories when I talk about people's career relationship with music, etc. They go from sort of least to most, passive, personal, casual, and semi-professional. And the line between casual and semi-professional that I've defined is, in the last year, have they made at least $1,000 doing it?
Yeah,
So.
I have in the last year I have not made $1,000 doing musical theater.
Okay, yeah, because a lot of I know that a lot of theater can be community based or, stuff where it's about having fun as opposed to. And again, that's perfectly okay, right? Everybody. I just got it. So that thank you for.
Can I just also mention though that yeah, in the past year, yes, but post-pandemic, I have had a successful year in balancing both the theatrical world where I did and I was able to bring in over $1,000, and also retain my current full-time corporate job. And that's something that I have consistently wanted to explore in this now new post-pandemic world of how we treat our in-person corporate jobs that they no longer have to be 100% in person, and also how we then treat our theatrical jobs. I think that there is a really interesting there's an interesting avenue to explore, and I wish that both sides would explore it more. And that's something that I've been passionate about, kind of figuring out on how I can go into the theater world without having to be 100%, 150%, give my entire blood, sweat, and tears to something that won't allow me to have the freedom and flexibility and the income to afford my lifestyle. So I've dabbled in seeing how you can marry the two. I haven't been fully successful yet. I think that that's something potentially in the next 5 to 10 years. That's definitely something I would love to continue exploring. But yeah, I just want to mention that that's a line in the theater world that I've always had a problem with. That it really allow it doesn't allow for people to determine and establish their own definition of how they want theater and the arts and music to be in their lives.
Got it. Got it. Well, no, I appreciate your thoughts on that. And I agree that theater can be a very large commitment.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, and again, I'll also say I gave you those categories. I can tell you that the number of people I speak with who are, quote, semi-professional, it's a little less than 1 in 4, but it's a very common that, one thing I hear from a lot of people, again, mostly Berkeley, is that it's like, hey, now they're doing the music they want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, rather than I feel like I agree with that. Like the theatrical or the performing opportunities that have been placed in front of me or that I now have the viewpoint of, I'm viewing them from the lens of do I really want to be doing it rather than is this going to enhance my career or is this going to give me the paycheck that I need? So I think, yeah, my motivations have now shifted in the types of ways I want theater to be a part of my life.
Awesome. So, next question I have for you is there are many jobs out there which are bachelor's degree required. And, as I'm sure you know, working at HR. But at the same time, there are a lot of jobs that say that where nobody studies it in college. Right? No, nobody studies technical recruiting in college.
Yep.
So, in that sense, a BOCO degree is tied with a whole lot of other bachelor's degrees in terms of qualifying you
Yep.
for a job. But beyond the fact that it's a bachelor's degree, is there anything you feel your BOCO experience did particularly well to prepare you for your current career?
Yeah, I tell actors, former actors, or people in the arts that are looking for other jobs all the time. I'm a firm believer that my degree in musical theater, my bachelor's degree from BOCO, makes me overqualified for many positions. And to not look at my specific specialty in musical theater as a limitation in the types of fields that I can go into. but more as an asset that I am, because of my training, able to adapt to myself into. I think that the theater world provides you with a lot of rejection and a lot of opportunity to then go internal and make adjustments and adapt to in order to enhance your ability to get a role or be a part of a particular project. And I think the corporate world is no different. So I think my skills that I gained from my degree at BOCO set me up in an extreme case for careers outside of musical theater. I only wish that my school leaned into that more and had the ability to teach me and give me the tools to have more confidence in that, rather than me learning that outside of school.
You know, I think that you just and you just answered my next question. I'm sorry, you said you wish that BOCO had done differently,
yeah.
You know, but it sounds like you just answered that. But it sounds like you're talking
And if it's okay with you, I would love to just expand just a little bit. And just, I am a firm believer of that. I think that the skills and the classes and the tools that I gained from BOCO are invaluable in many, many, many ways. I think that one blind spot that I wish that I had more in my education was the preparation for real life, was the preparation for a life that, even though I was 100% in and developed a routine around musical theater, that I was given and had the tools to help me thrive in all the other aspects of life that don't include musical theater. And I think that was, and I've communicated that to teachers, and I've communicated that to my, to a few people at BOCO, that I really think that would set all of their students and set all of their alumni up for success, not only for more success, not only in a musical theater fashion, in a musical theater capacity, but also in a general life capacity, that I think are invaluable to a young adult graduating at 22, 21.
Okay, so I think where we stopped or got cut off, I would just sort of ask you, you talked about wanting more prep for the real world and all that, and I said, you know, it seemed like you were getting adaptability out of BOCO. Was there anything else? And you were just starting to say something great and
Yeah, no worries. I was just going to say and add on that 100% adaptability is something that I think has really been an asset to me in my real life and my ability to navigate the real world and jobs and the type of career I want to build. And also at school, we studied human behavior, and the ability to then translate that into the real world and how I can navigate and take on new challenges is something that I think I gained from my time at BOCO, my time at the Boston Conservatory. So I think that that's an invaluable thing that I think if I didn't have to figure that out on my own, I think that I would have been able to come to that so much sooner in the ability to take on new challenges that life throws at you.
Gotcha. That's great. So thank you. And next question I have for you is, I mean, you know, you worked in the theater world for a while. That's great. Then the pandemic hit. I've heard that phrase when the pandemic hit from a lot of folks.
I believe it.
You got on a new path and seems like you're doing great. So let's say, you know, not everybody has found that path. And they're also, you know, the current students are staring out to the big scary world and wondering what comes next. So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
The advice that I would like to continue taking from myself and applying, and I think that this stretches for students and people in my position right now, is always be open to the idea of change and not hold yourself to a high, to a standard that may or may not, that's not flexible. I think that life throws different challenges at you in different ways at different parts of your life. The pandemic being just a major tangible example that happened to me. I think that my ability to embrace change and embrace looking into a new path has really allowed and opened up another world for me. And I think that that's something that I would like to hold myself accountable to for the years to come. I don't know if I'm going to be doing exactly what I'm doing in the job that I'm doing in 3 to 5 years. I want to be the type of person that is open to that shifting and that being okay to shift and knowing that I'll be okay if it shifts. And I haven't reached any sort of failure or block in my life if I do decide to shift paths. So I think that that's something that I would say.
Gotcha. That's great. Thank you. And let's zoom in a little bit. I think I mentioned before, I think you're my 248th interview, plus or minus one. So let's say, I doubt anyone's listening to all 248. But anyone who's made it this far, I mean, I'm going to have you there under human resources.
Okay.
I think you're my 5th person in HR.
Okay.
So let's say for someone who they're not currently doing it, but they're interested in working in HR, what specific advice do you have for them?
Interesting, because I'm kind of a branch or a bridge between human resources and finance, meaning that I'm more on the back end. But if somebody had an interest of going into...
Yeah, do you want me to stick you in finance or in HR or in, for that matter, data?
No, I think I should be put in human resources because it is a human resources function. I would say my advice is to develop and lean into your people first mindset and trust the instincts that you were taught in a people first environment such as Berkeley and BOCO. In studying human behavior and learning about people, and the more curiosity that you have about people, and how people work and how people navigate life, the more success I've seen from the human resources side, because the motivation has to come from the equality and the betterment of the people that you work with. So I think that that's what I would say.
Gotcha. Very, very helpful. So, hey, Daniel, I just have one last question for you, which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think there is. I think that all of your questions were very insightful and sparked a big curiosity in my brain. So, and how I kind of relate to my time at BOCO in comparing it to where I am in my life right now. So thank you for that. And no, I think that I've touched on a lot of the different aspects of where my journey at BOCO has gotten me or how it has gotten me to the place that I'm at now. So I think I'm good.
I agree. You've given excellent answers. I ask that question of everybody. So don't think it was any perceived inadequacy.
You're fine. Yep. Nope. Understood.
All right. Great. Well, hey, thank you so much for making the time today. I really enjoyed this conversation.
I really appreciate you reaching out. I think I love the opportunity to talk to alum on how, or talk to teachers from my schooling and how a degree in musical theater can come to the place where I'm at right now and how that happens. So thank you for reaching out. It was a no-brainer for me that I would like to talk to you.
Awesome. All right. Well, best of luck with everything. Have a great week.
Thank you, Kevin. Good. Bye.